This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Enterprise Biz Bites on Tuesday, August 11th, 2020. My name is Audrey Rajan. In the studio with me today is
the one and only Frida Liu.
Frida Liu. And we are asking you on the show today, have you noticed a bigger digital divide, especially, you know, since the pandemic hit and, you know, throughout MCO? We're going to be talking about a digital divide of the haves and the have-nots. We're also going to be talking about entrepreneurship and passive incomes.
Don't become an entrepreneur if you want passive income.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And finally, we will be discussing how your phone may help you read more. If that's one of your resolutions for the year 2020, well, we'll give you the deets on that a bit later. Get in touch with us 018-789-8899 on WhatsApp, or you can also participate on a poll that we have going on Twitter and on Instagram. At BFM Radio is our handle. Have you noticed a bigger digital divide? We'll get to the results of the poll in just a bit. But why we're talking about this is because I think many experts have said that COVID-19 has caused 3 years of digital transformation to happen in just 3 months. Some say even 5 years of digital transformation in just 2 months, right? Depending on which country you're in. And business continuity has become the buzzword of 2020. And it's also an indicator of how well a company could navigate the sudden shift to remote work. And it became clear early on that those who had heavily invested in digital transformation initiatives before the onset of COVID-19 had a better chance of survival in what we are now calling this new norm, right? So the tech industry has long been divided between the efficacies of low-price, easy entry products for widespread adoption and high-priced premium products that allow access to only those with the means to pay. The viability of sitting on the latter end of that spectrum, however, has recently been put to the test. For the basic digital apps that people rely on, app gentrification is not the way towards creating a fair and democratized internet ecosystem. In fact, just like gentrification in the physical world, digital gentrification will result in gaps in technical capability, education, and access to resources. So now let's just look at working from home and this transition that most of us have had this year. For employers, remote work is the safest bet in the face of a global pandemic. The collaboration and work management market has become extremely favorable as the demand for remote technologies continues to grow. The potential for large profits at a time where many companies have had to quickly pivot their market strategies has drawn much attention, but has done very little to make technology more accessible. So finding the right tech that's within budget can cater to the company's specific needs and operations, it's been a long process. COVID-19 has removed the luxury of speed as companies chose to work from home for the first time and often hastily or without much thought. Also, tools that provide the best experience are often highly priced and generally catered to larger businesses, leaving the smaller ones to rely on complementary software, which is often not fit for cause. And security has also become an issue for smaller companies. Larger companies can afford to send dedicated laptops to the workforce with IT support. But smaller companies, maybe they've had to rely on their employees bringing in their own laptop, right? Mm-hmm. So these companies are at a higher risk of cyber attacks or data loss and potentially risking future customer relationships. There's also long distance learning that we've noticed over these last few months. You know, businesses are not alone in the accelerated digital transformation journey. Distance learning has skyrocketed, with many parents having to bridge the tech gap and ensure that their children have access to devices and applications needed to keep up with online courses, right? Mm. So, and then we've also spoken about the availability of high-speed internet for lower-income groups and also those in the rural areas. You know, this has been a long-standing issue. Yet it took a pandemic for policymakers to figure out how to support the people in the rural areas and give universal access to the internet. Some NGOs around the world have created free education tools normally used for refugee camps and orphanages, which is great. But, you know, they can't bear the weight of the country's education systems failures as well, right? So ultimately, recreating the classroom experience online will only work if access to technology is democratized.
Right.
So what do we do now? So what now, right? So we are definitely seeing a clear haves and have-nots division when it comes to the access to proper devices and key services. And a lot of this has to do with our perception that high-end technology is expensive, and yet some of our greatest innovations and some of the tools that even we use in our high-end work, if you want want to call it that, is like the stuff that you can find for free on the internet, like Google's suite of tools, yeah, Google Docs.
What would we do without them?
Yeah, and they are free to all with access to a device. So I guess what we're trying to say here, it's going to take a group effort of elected officials, business leaders, and educational experts to make sure there is a level playing field for everyone, regardless of wealth and location. And unless everyone has access to the best apps and services with proper hardware, the digital divide will continue to widen.
Right. I think for us, what we saw in the business community, in the urban areas, I think you're all right. You know, in the urban areas, we sort of, I don't know what it's like in the rural area. Education was the other thing, right? Where you can see like it's not a level playing field, right? This picture of this kid up on a tree.
Up on a tree, exactly.
Right, trying to get the internet, right? So this is where we've been trying to push 5G as well, right? I don't know if actually 4G could solve the problem. So this whole push for 5G and improving our technology and making it, I guess, affordable for all is that big thing. And this is where, you know, the haves and have-nots, like you said, right? It's so apparent, right? So... Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Well, you know, let us know what you think. You know, have you noticed a bigger digital divide now, especially this year with the pandemic and MCO? Get in touch with us on WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also reach us on Twitter and on Instagram at BFM Radio. We also have a poll going on Twitter and on Instagram. Have you noticed a bigger digital divide? We'll come back with a few numbers from the polls, and also we'll speak to Culture Pop's Matt Armitage about what he thinks about this very topic. But for now, here's the Jackson 5 with Dancing Machine. Enterprise Biz Bytes, BFM 89.9.
Busy following money trail, BFM 89.9.
You are listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes with Frida and Audrey. And on the show today, we are asking you, have you noticed a bigger digital divide, especially since the MCO and COVID-19? Get in touch with us, 018-789-8899 on WhatsApp. You can also reach us on Twitter and on Instagram. We have a poll going on Twitter and Instagram at BFM Radio is our handle, so you can join the conversation there as well. But first, I thought we'd speak to a very special person who's on the line with us right now. So today, of course, we're talking about gentrifying tech and the potential of a looming digital divide. And some people would even argue that there's already a digital divide, and they tend to be happy souls, just like our very own Culture Pop's Matt Armitage, whose opinion we got on this very topic. So Matt, let's get your opinion on this. You know, are we moving too fast digitally and leaving some people and some businesses behind?
It's a very difficult question to answer, because if you look at the way digital adoption has sort of progressed, especially during this pandemic, that digital technology is actually what's allowing a lot of companies to continue operating and, of course, to carry on employing people and enabling them to work from home. Mm. Of course, we don't have a kind of universal access to a lot of these technologies and services. So yes, there is a risk that some people and businesses will get left behind. But is that a reason then to restrict access to the technology for those that can have it, or to address the kind of fundamental injustices, which may have more to do with pricing structures of the services that people are subscribing to, or to do with access to high-speed internet and, of course, this kind of digital data infrastructure?
And are we inadvertently creating a digital divide of the haves and the have-nots?
This is a more difficult question to answer, simply because under our economic system, we've always had haves and have-nots. So even before the pandemic started, I think we had this situation where we had a digital divide. There were people who had access to technology. There were people that didn't. What we need to see, as I said just now, is a more concerted effort to give people universal access to the internet, to digital tools. Now, that may be something that national governments have to come in and address. At the moment, we have this very kind of strange system where we pay to go online, but then when we get online, we expect everything to be free. I think perhaps that dynamic needs to be reversed a little bit, that it's much easier to get online, and then we face a lot more choices in terms of pricing structures when we actually get onto the internet itself.
You know, the division has been there almost since the inception of the internet. So has this divide widened during the pandemic?
I think it probably has widened. I think what we've seen is certainly a divide between companies that were prepared for off-site working with staff working from home, companies that hadn't given it a second thought, especially companies where a lot of data has been concentrated internally and there's been a lot of focus on data security and not actually enabling anyone to access those files remotely. So we've seen a lot of companies have to do a kind of 360-degree pivot to enable people to access their systems to work remotely. And of course, yes, that has widened the divide. Companies that already had this infrastructure in place were better placed to react quickly when economies were closed down. And what we've also seen is this kind of massive rush towards cloud computing and remote services at the same time that those service providers are also working at reduced capacity in terms of their own employees. So we've seen this increased pressure on, I think, vendors at a time when they weren't best placed to actually respond to the needs of the market.
So Matt, which industries or services are we seeing have the most impact on?
I think the first thing we have to discuss is the impact that it's having on consumers. So we have this issue that this technology is supposed to make everyone safer, make everyone's life easier during the pandemic. So access to e-retail services, using apps, scanning QR codes when we go out and do shopping. Now, there's an income issue there. If you don't have money for your data plan, if your internet is cut off at home, for example, which we know a lot of people are going through financial hardships at the moment, you no longer have access to these services. Now, if you're out at a store, yes, you can still enter information manually, but there's an embarrassment factor to that, especially if you're holding up a queue. There's the issue with disabilities. If you're someone with a visual impairment, for example, how do you know where you're supposed to scan the QR code? There are just these kind of practical issues at the moment. And especially as well, even in terms of banking, if you don't have access to online banking, it can be very difficult to use any of these kind of e-commerce services. So we're at this point where a lot of people find it difficult to actually go out and maneuver and do the regular daily stuff. And we're actually making it more difficult for a percentage of the population with these kind of technology-based solutions. When we look at the actual industries and services, I think SMEs are probably very badly hit at the moment because a lot of the pricing for a lot of these digital productivity and enterprise software solutions are based on pricing plans for large companies. I've found this myself. Even when you find something that looks quite reasonable, you might find that the minimum sign-up numbers in terms of the number of staff that you have to sign up for is more people than you actually employ. So you don't want to waste that money on additional seats or spaces on this software that you're not going to be using, or that you simply find that it's way, way out of your price bracket because it's based on a minimum sign-up of 15, 20, 25 people. Mm. So from that point of view, yes, I think it's very difficult for SMEs to maneuver. And of course, it takes a lot more time to find tools that meet your needs and meet your price bracket. Whereas I think larger enterprises, multinational corporations, of course, they have that luxury of being able to look at pretty much every tool in the market. And those decisions then become, I think, a little bit simpler.
Thank you, Matt. That was Matt Armitage from CulturePop. Now, you know, something interesting that he mentioned about QR codes, you know, that's something that's just become, well, like a part of the new norm for us, right? Everywhere we go, we're scanning a QR code, right? And this is an experience I had just last week at a public hospital. I took my mother-in-law for her checkup, right? And I was shocked to see this line that was just sneaking all the way down down past the hospital. And people were actually in line from 6 a.m. because they just didn't have like a QR code scanning app on their phone. So maybe their phones were not chunky
enough.
So
these are the elderly.
Yes, you know, okay. For them to whip out their cameras and just scan the code. So they didn't have the phones didn't have that capability, or they had a feature phone, or they just didn't know what to do. And so many of them were just holding back, and that's why that line was so long. And I really felt bad, because like it's places like this where maybe you need to assign more people to
help,
like, yeah, to help,
assist,
you know,
and
they, I think maybe they were just understaffed, and also, you know, because most places are working on rotation as well right now, so it was just sad to see all these elderly people, you know, standing in line for hours just to get into the hospital to then, you know, wait for a number and
right.
then wait for their checkups. And so,
and it defeated the whole purpose of making things faster.
Yeah, and also, you know, when you've got a line that long, you bet that, you know, you're not actually, you know, 6 feet away from each other in that line as well.
Okay.
So, you know, a bit scary, but, you know, that just goes to show that even the simple thing like scanning a QR code, it's just not, I mean, maybe some parts of this country, we're just not ready for it.
And I'm even thinking about the urban poor here. I take it for granted that not everybody would have a laptop or a computer at home, right?
In order to work from home.
Or
internet
to study.
Access.
Yeah,
yeah,
to study, right? So, yeah.
Yeah, all right. So, get in touch with us. Have you noticed a bigger digital divide? 018-789-8899 on WhatsApp. At BFM Radio is our handle on Twitter and on Instagram. We've got a poll on there as well. We'll come back with the results from that poll. But for now, here's Earth, Wind & Fire with Frida and my favorite month, September.
Yay.
Enterprise Biz Bytes, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.